Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias. In today's episode, we'll be diving deep into the crystal ball, exploring predictions for how advancements from the past year will shape the biosimilar market in 2024 and beyond. With approvals, advancements, and regulatory shifts, the landscape of biosimilars is constantly evolving. And who better to provide us with insights into these changes than our returning guest, Julie Reed, Executive Director of the Biosimilars Forum. We'll be delving into the impact of recent developments on market dynamics, discussing how these advancements are reshaping strategies, influencing investment decisions, and ultimately transforming patient care. From the first on-body pegfilgrastim biosimilar to the growing acceptance of adalimumab biosimilars, we'll dissect the key trends and their implications for the future. But it's not just about looking back. It's about looking forward. Julie will be sharing her predictions for what lies ahead in the biosimilar market. What regulatory challenges can we anticipate? How will market access evolve? And what role will innovation play in driving the next wave of biosimilar adoption? With Julie's expertise and insights, we'll gain a deeper understanding of the focus shaping the biosimilar landscape and uncover strategies for navigating the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead. Welcome, Julie. To begin, during 2023, we saw approvals for the first on-body pegfilgrastim biosimilar, natalizumab biosimilar, tocilizumab biosimilar, and ustekinumab biosimilar. How do you think all of these FDA firsts will shape the overall biosimilar industry in the future?
Thanks, Skylar. And you can say those words so much better than me, so thank you. I am impressed. But you know what? Those approvals are really exciting. And I think it represents a couple really key things. Number one, the innovation of the biosimilar companies. They're innovating to make sure that they're meeting the patient's needs with their biosimilars. So what the patient needs, our companies are coming to those needs and getting those products approved. It also shows how with the innovation and our members, how we're closely working with the FDA again to meet patient needs. So it's a very exciting time to see all of those products approved. I think it reflects the ongoing maturity of the development programs at the FDA and with our members, and we're very excited about it. It really shows, you know, that we're into a decade of development globally with biosimilars, and we're advancing those innovations. So it's a great, very exciting turn for the industry.
In terms of regulatory developments, what changes or updates are anticipated in the next few years that could shape the landscape of the biosimilar industry? And how are companies preparing for these changes?
Another great question. And as you know, under BsUFA 3, we have the Regulatory Science Pilot Program. And the FDA has been partnering with industry to advance that program. We have a number of research projects that are being done at the FDA to help streamline and advance, you know, biosimilar development, again, reflecting how after 10 years, not only the FDA, but the industry has advanced our scientific capabilities, the technologies we use. And it's truly a partnership with the agency to advance these technologies and other scientific developments to help, you know, improve the development of biosimilars. So very exciting. I think that's going to be a highlight of the next 2 years. And we'll start to see again the FDA's requirements never to be compromised, but for the science to advance because we can build on all the new technologies, techniques, and our experience.
How are pricing and market access strategies expected to evolve in the biosimilar industry over the next few years? And what considerations are companies taking into account to navigate these challenges?
Thanks, Skylar. And I think the word challenges is really a highlight. And as you know, over the past year, the Biosimilars Forum has really highlighted the watershed moment for the biosimilars industry with the launch of the nine Humira biosimilars. And what that has done is show the challenges the industry has in bringing and advancing lower cost products through free market competition. And I think the challenges or how the ag strategies are expected to evolve, and you're seeing that now, is that our members are being innovative, not just in development of biosimilars, but in how they are approaching the market. They're creating where they have barriers to patient access for biosimilars through PBMs blocking. Unfortunately, Medicare continues to not be supportive of biosimilar. Medicare, if you, I mean, it's so hard to believe that Medicare has one of the lowest uptake rates of lower cost biosimilars in the country. That just doesn't make sense when Medicare was one of the driving forces to wanting lower cost biosimilars when we were passing the law. So I think that the policies and the way the payers will view biosimilars are going to change. We are seeing that a number of organizations in Washington are reviewing and looking at the fact that these Humira biosimilars have less combined less than 2% market share. Less than 2%. So that means less than 2% of patients have access to a Humira biosimilar that in many cases is at an 85% discount. So you could be saving 85% out of pocket for a Humira biosimilar and you have no access to it. I think our industry has done a great job in highlighting and educating about the problems and barriers. And I believe that a number of agencies are going to be looking at this. We know the Federal Trade Commission is investigating PBMs. MedPAC just announced they're going to look into why there is low patient access to lower cost biosimilars. Even again, the Health and Human Services Office of the Inspector General is announced late last year, they're going to study why Medicare Part D is not giving access to lower cost biosimilars. So I think that with all of this scrutiny, with the education that the forum has done about the barriers to access to biosimilars and the lack of fostering robust competition, I think that payer policies are going to change. They need to change. We need competition. That's how competition is how we get lower cost. And so I think we need to see the system change.
What are some specific goals and initiatives that the Biosimilars Forum has set for this year, and how do they align with industry trends?
Absolutely. Number one goal for our members in the industry here is increasing patient access to lower cost biosimilars. That is number one. And I think we're on track to see we have congressional support to do that. I think we're seeing more publications and interest from Medicare. So I believe that the Biden administration will step up. We're seeing our member companies have innovative solutions to increasing access and moving past PBM barriers to access. Number two is getting the biosimilar special rule right in the Inflation Reduction Act. See, Medicare had to get out their 2026 list. They put out a short time frame guidance that does not work for the biosimilar industry over the long term. So we need Medicare or CMS to step up and support the biosimilars industry by making sure that their guidance and requirements for the biosimilar special rule reflect the realities of biosimilar development and launch. It's really key that we get that 2-year delay correct for the long-term sustainability of our industry and for the cost savings our industry will deliver. Number three is, as we talked about earlier, advancing the development of biosimilars at the agency. going forward with new innovative ways to do biosimilar development that reflect our knowledge gained over the last 10 years. So that is number three. And always, always, always a top priority for our members is education. And we're very pleased, you know, we have a great relationship with the FDA and over 200 stakeholder groups that our team members have fostered and created for us. We're there to educate on biosimilars. We're the leading voice on biosimilars, and our goal is to make sure patients and all stakeholders, physicians, understand what a biosimilar is and how safe and high quality they are. So those are our main goals. We're a focused group and we try to get stuff done.
The Biosimilars Forum just welcomed four new members, including Biocom Biologics, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Amneal Pharmaceuticals, and Mayhall Pharmaceuticals. How do you envision their contributions in advancing the organization's mission, and what unique perspective do they bring to the table?
Thank you. That is such a great question, and we are so thrilled and honored to have not only our newest members, but also our longstanding founding members as part of the forum. And it really shows with these new additions and maintaining our membership, how the forum has evolved and is recognized as the leading voice of the industry here in the U.S. We are welcoming four new members. One, Biocom Biologics, who you know is going to become a powerhouse in biosimilars and bring a global footprint and experience, as well as we've welcomed Teva back. We're thrilled to have Teva back again. These are all of our members are leaders in the space. Amneal Pharmaceuticals, again, a leader in the biosimilar space. And especially a new member called Mayhall Pharmaceuticals, based in Chicago area, who are new. They celebrated their 7-year anniversary. And so they are new in the generic world and in the biosimilars world. And they are one, you know, I've had the honor of meeting with them and talking to them, and we're very excited. All of our members are the leading companies developing biosimilars around the world. We have Pfizer and Sandoz and Teva, who have launched globally on biosimilars, have been there from the beginning, including Organon, have been there from the beginning. And now we have like you said, Biocon, Mayhall, Amneal, who are just beginning, and Coherus, who keeps doing really innovative things, as you mentioned, getting their on-body injector approved, working with Mark Cuban. I mean, that company is just exciting to watch. So we have Samsung. Samsung's one of the biggest biosimilar developers in the world. For me, being in this from the beginning, it's an honor to represent these members. And I believe these are the leaders in this industry, not just here in the U.S., but across the world. And they're committed to bringing lower cost biosimilars to the U.S. and to the patients who need them. And their voices are going to be heard. And each member has a unique perspective. But we come together to create consensus and advance policies that support the patients we want to serve. So it's exciting. I hope it's contagious. But I think one of the most important things about the forum and how we have become the voice of the industry and the leader of the industry is our members. We are a member-driven organization. We have multiple committees. We have a very active board that represents each of our companies, but also in each area of biosimilar development and policy, we have member-driven committees and one of the reasons we're called the forum is we wanted to create a place we can all discuss how to grow and support the biosimilars in the U.S. And so we respectfully, it's incredible how our members dig in and respectfully talk about how to support this industry, what needs to happen, what are the best policies, how do we, and together we are consensus driven. Our members are the ones who are, really driving what we do. And then we have these incredible partners. And so, like Scott and Ari and the Thorn Run team and everyone, we just, there's a passion at the forum for biosimilars, and it's palpable across every single member and every committee and everyone who participates. People are excited about the industry from the beginning. So it just is, again, it's really fun and quite an honor to be part of it for me.
Now, we recently hit the 1 year anniversary of adalimumab biosimilars in the US. How do you think the first year has gone? And what more needs to be done to boost uptake and acceptance?
Absolutely. Thank you. So, yeah, the 1 year anniversary, 9 Humira biosimilars have been launched in the US. Unfortunately, the combined market share, as I mentioned earlier, the combined market share of those 9 biosimilars is less than 2%. This is shocking. Multiple of those biosimilars have dual pricing strategies. Okay, they have launched at either a high WAC or a low WAC or both. And what we are seeing is that unfortunately PBMs continue to support or favor the high WAC product. And that what that means, and again, combined though, less than 2%. So combined, what we're seeing is that when our members committed to bringing biosimilars to the marketplace, and again, 9 Humira biosimilars, 5 to 7 years to develop each one, and $300 to $500 million to develop each one. That's a significant time and cost to bring competition. We get to the marketplace, there's no competition that being supported or allowed. We get to the marketplace and patients don't have access to these lower cost products. So their out-of-pocket costs continue to be high. I think that with this 1 year anniversary and the light being shown, we are going to see, and as we talked earlier, going to see parties interested in studying and evaluating what is going on. Why is competition being blocked? And I believe that is going to create significant changes in how the market access or the patient access in this country to far to lower cost products is being addressed and supported. And I believe those changes will happen this year. The system does not work for patients.
Additionally, how do you think PBMs and payers are starting to view these new adalimumab options, especially since many have either two WACs or branded and unbranded version?
Well, I think that, again, we're seeing that our members are driving new market innovations, creating partnerships or working with partners outside of the PBM system because the PBM system does not support a low-cost product. They want a high rebate, high-cost product. I believe, and as we know, that Congress is looking at this, the Federal Trade Commission is looking at this, Health and Human Services, OIG, is looking at this, and now MedPAC is looking at this. People are aware, decision makers are aware that patients are not getting access to these lower cost biosimilars. And the data shows that they're not getting access to this. We have one member who has one patient. So that is not, does not support the long-term sustainability of creating competition. And the system that is run through either both through Medicare and through the PBMs is broken. your patients. And so I believe that they will, under the scrutiny, they will need to change the way they support biosimilars. And if they don't do it voluntarily, I think that Congress is going to help support biosimilars. We continue to have bipartisan support for our policy recommendations, and I believe that they'll be required to change.
What can biopharmaceutical companies looking to launch new products in the U.S. learn from the U.S.'s first-year experience with adalimumab biosimilars?
Well, I think that many companies that are developing biosimilars, including our members, are unfortunately re-looking at their developments and saying, wait a minute, if the system does not change, is this a good investment? So I think that is concerning, all right? And especially for, again, the sustainability of the competitive biosimilars industry. I think they're also looking at when the PBM system or Medicare, you know, where we're seeing the blockage and the barriers to access, they're innovating. Our members are innovating outside of that system. And so I think, again, I give our members such credit for thinking outside the box and their commitment to patients, that they're going to get these products into patients' hands to help lower costs because they made that commitment. But I do believe we will continue to see industry support that the current access system for patients needs to change, especially when it only supports high cost products. We can't, as a public, we can't afford that.
How has the implementation of BsUFA 3 progressed thus far? And what notable achievements or challenges have been encountered during its implementation?
So we're excited about BsUFA 3, all right? And it is progressing well. And the FDA, we feel we have a true partnership with the FDA. And they support biosimilar development. They have been open to hearing from industry, meeting with industry. So we're very pleased with how the FDA is working on this. The regulatory science pilot program is underway. The FDA is, we are supporting, I believe there's 18 pilot 18 research programs going on right now, and I can send those to you, and we're looking at those and the FDA, and these are all things looking scientifically based on what we know about developing biosimilars, but also where could we go in the future? What are some new scientific ways that we can develop biosimilars based on our learnings and looking into the future? So we're excited about that is actually advancing. And so that means we are going to evolve the biosimilar development in the U.S. and I think globally, because as all things science, as you start one place, you advance to the next place and keep asking the questions and keep improving based on what you learn. So things are moving, and we look forward to getting there. So.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
I think this is another exciting year for biosimilars. We know what's working and what doesn't work. And we know we have the support of multiple stakeholders to address what's not working. And so I think with that support and recognizing the need for the patient access system to change so that patients can benefit from lower cost products and we can have robust competition in the U.S. I'm excited. We have that support. I'm excited that things will change. And I hope the PBMs and Medicare actually step up even on their own to change how they're giving patients access. We're excited about ongoing work with the FDA to advance development of biosimilar and to evolve it to reflect 10 years of development. I think, again, another very exciting year for us. I believe we have support. I believe our members are the leaders in this industry, not just in the US, but around the world. And I believe we'll continue to build a strong industry that brings competition. So ask me again this time next year. We'll do another one.
Well, Julie, thank you for sharing your insights with us. And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information on everything we discussed in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.